This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, yeah, I got a little bit of memory there to get some squirrel excitement going on. Are you headed out on this opening day of the special Louisiana spring squirrel season, going out to collect some chicken of the trees? Well, weather might clear up for you, particularly those of you listening in the northern reaches of Louisiana that, what a rough frontal system passed through last night. They're just getting it now on the Florida Panhandle. It's passing through parts of Alabama. Extends out into the Gulf, and behind it, it's kind of just some light rain. But remember, if you're going to be out and you get caught in some of those storms, the winds and seas could be a little bit rougher than what their forecast is. Anyway, I got a lot to talk about this morning, and we hope you'll text us at 504-260-1870. Tell me if you're going squirrel hunting, who you're with, where you're going. If you don't, why don't you squirrel hunt? Really doesn't have a lot of participation in the spring squirrel season. I guess there's just so many other things going on. Well, we've got something ending, and that is the beady-eyed bird season. Yes, the wild turkey. It ended this week in Mississippi. Area A, which is the largest portion of Louisiana, wraps up tomorrow, so you got a couple of days to get out there, and hopefully the birds will still be gobbling in your area. Alabama's got until May 8th for those guys over there. I had a beady-eyed bird encounter this week in Tennessee, and unfortunately, the beady-eyed bird won. But there was one that did not win. My buddy Steve lives up there in Germantown. He ended up with a beautiful bird, 4 beards and 1.5-inch spurs. Great bird, real trophy bird he collected. Had a good time up there. Next week, I'll be headed to Kansas, and that'll close out my turkey season for 2025. And we'll be doing the show broadcasting from Palco, Kansas. Check it out. Big metropolis up there in Kansas. All right, the Louisiana red snapper season opened up Thursday morning. Do you have a report for us about that trip? Where did you go? What size snapper did you find? Did you limit out? Again, we welcome your text and reports at 504-260-1870. Also, your fishing and hunting comments and questions are also welcome. Freshwater fishing, well, the hot thing this week, according to Jeff Brule, I had a little conversation with Jeff, and he says catfish. They are just about everywhere. Live worms, earthworms is your best bait, and man, he said they are just jumping in the boat in most of the rivers and some of the freshwater lakes. We got a bad boy story for you, as we do each and every week. And this week's bad boy is looking at a possible 20-year sentence for his crime. We'll tell you how he got into his predicament when we get to that feature. And I want to remind you, time is running out to get one of those $25 tickets to fish with one of 8 professional fishing guides. We'll remind you how to do that. Looking at your coastal marine forecast, well, here's the forecast for the offshore. Southwest winds to start off 12 to 20 knots, 3 to 5 foot seas. Bumpy, but probably doable for snapper. depending on where you are, as that frontal system moves continually to the east. For tomorrow, the winds will swap around and become northeasterly, blowing at about 10 to 18 knots, 2 to 3-foot seas on the interior lakes and bays. Today, southwest winds, 10 to 18, will become northeasterly. For tomorrow, 6 to 12. So if you get the hint, tomorrow, much better wind conditions than today. Average tide range, pretty good, almost a foot and a half, 1.4. 60% chance of rain. That depends on where you are. There's a lot of light rain along the lower coast. I mean, it extends all the way out from Matagorda Bay in Texas, across the Gulf of America, south of New Orleans, into Mobile Bay, and now moving into Florida area. So there's a good bit of rain out there, but it's all passing through, and we've got a several couple days that'll be coming up with some really nice weather. All right, we'll find out what's going on in St. Bernard Parish. Robbie Campo is back from turkey hunting. We'll get his update, and we got also some other field reporters, Darrell Carpenter, Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard with the Paddler's Report, and our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert. Stick around. We're chatting with all of them to get you more info so you can do better on your outdoor trips. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's talk to Robbie Campo as we do every Saturday morning and find out what's happening down at Shell Beach at Campo's Marina. Robbie, what's going on this week?
Well, Don, I tell you, it was a pretty exciting week around here with, speckled trout fishing. Everybody's gearing up for this time of the year, and this is what we all wait for, and this is what's happening. Long Rocks has been on fire. The community hole Long Rocks has been good. And all week, Don, there was probably 40 or 50 boats down there, and everybody did well fishing the Long Rocks. Eastern shoreline of Lake Bourne still producing some really, really nice trout. They're catching some, starting to see some of these slot reds starting to come in over here off of Proctor's Point, if somebody wanted to go try that. Plenty of sheephead still on the rocks, Don. It's just been an exciting week. It's been a great week of fishing, and I tell you, I don't think we're going to have the best weather today, best weather day today with all this rain that we have around. But nevertheless, I mean, this past week, sure proved that, the fish are here. And, it's been on, the bite's been on down there, down in the Sound and Bay Elwha and over in Anastasio and, the oil rigs out in the Sound. The islands have been good. So, there's a lot of river water out there, Don. You just got to get underneath that river water and fish these fish. Slide caulk has been very productive this whole past week. If you don't know how to use it, I mean, it's simple. Google it. It could be your best friend. So with all of that said, if you're coming down here today, we are hosting two events here today. We're hosting LCII's Concrete Appreciation, Driver's Appreciation Day today, which is Landru Concrete. If you need concrete, call them. I highly recommend them. They're a great company. And we are also hosting Stowth Haven's terminal down in Braithwaite's fishing tournament today. So we got a lot going on around here. So keep that in mind if you come down this way. But nevertheless, it's all about having a good time, Don, and that's what we're going to do. Rain, sleet, or snow, we're going to have a good time and make it happen.
Well, it looks like this is probably the last frontal system, regular frontal system that we're going to get for the season. It's supposed to drop the temperature a little bit. And, normally in the wintertime and early spring, when you get these fronts that come rocking and rolling through here, things change drastically the next day. And we are going to have north and northeast winds by tomorrow. But being it's this late, I don't think it's going to change the patterns very much. It's going to be much nicer tomorrow. But I'm looking at it, and that system that rocked through your area is already gone. It's almost in Florida now, most of it. So light rain behind it, which is a little pesky, but I don't think that should stop anybody. I think if you really want to get out there today, you can get out and catch some fish and just keep an eye in case some of those storms form and pop up and become a little bit worse than what the light rain we're seeing now is.
Yeah, we've seen some lightning around here this morning. I don't see any of that right now. We did have some. It was raining lightly here a little while ago. That has tapered off, so we have no rain right at this moment. So I think, like you said, if there's going to be a few spotty showers around, and if you could dodge a couple of these rain showers, I still think you could put some fish in the boat and have a successful day.
Yeah, going to be real pleasant tomorrow and the early part of next week. A little bit of drop in the temperature, so it should be good. Well, Robbie, sounds like the stage is set, man. Let's get into May and get some of them big specs going and get the redfish going. And everybody needs to sign up for that Star Tournament. You're a sign-up spot. They can do it right there.
Yeah, that's right, Don. We are a weigh station for Star Tournament. So if you haven't done so, do so. You could do it online or you could do it here at Campos. So if you haven't done that, you need to do that. I wouldn't leave the wharf without it. You don't want to be that guy.
If you haven't renewed your
CETO membership, please do so. I mean, it's a great insurance policy to have on side that Star Tournament ticket. So with those two, you can't go wrong. So with that said, Don, hook the left at the bridge and come on down and see us. We're waiting on you.
All righty. As always, thank you, Robbie. Good report. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo at Campo's Marine in Shell Beach. A place been there for a long, long time, century. All right, I got some text messages coming in. Let me get to a couple of early ones here. We got the backstrap stacker. He's in soggy Mobile, Alabama. He's about to head into the woods to hunt behind this front. Should be a great afternoon, and tomorrow is supposed to be in the 50s. Yeah, that's kind of nice. Another Alabama listener, our buddy Wingbone, he says he's hoping I use the Wingbone. I'm taking the Wingbone calls. We're taking me and Janice are bringing our Wingbone calls to Kansas and see if we can fool one of those Rio turkeys, the Rio Grande turkeys. All right, we got more texts. We'll get to those. Also going to talk more about the squirrel hunting season. If you don't know about it, you might want to get in some springtime hunting when everything else is closed. Also a little bit more on the snapper season that opened up this week. Florida got a long snapper season planned, if y'all listening over that way. And lots more to talk about here. And what you and I love to talk about, we just don't get enough of it, so we got to do it all the time. We talk hunting and fishing here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're getting a good morning from our friend the Mad Trucker. I wonder where he's trucking this morning. Also, well, I got our Ohio transplant sent us a text and says, a good cool and misty morning from Ohio, y'all. I'm putting the garden in today if the rain holds off. What flora do y'all hunter types pair with your fauna? I'm planting 15 bean soup. Yes, you can plant soup. I need a little more explanation on that. Bean soup planted? You need to tell me more about that. Anyway, what I've been planting lately, melaton. You know, that's been my go-to plant lately as far as, you know, something that you can plant it as well as eat. I got that over on my Alabama cottage over there, and they're doing quite well this year, too. And with all this rain we're getting, I'm sure they'll be thriving in the next couple of days. All right, I want to talk a little bit about this spring squirrel season. Opens up, today actually is going to be open. And squirrel hunting is probably the most basic type of hunting you'll ever do. All you need is a basic hunting license and a shotgun or of any type, single barrel, double barrel, pump, automatic, or a .22 rifle. A lot of people like to hunt with .22s. And there's plenty of opportunity out there. The Department of Wildlife and Fishery has a lot of state wildlife management areas all across the state, and the season will be open on just about all of those. We've got two species of squirrels and actually five subspecies. There's two subspecies of gray squirrel and three of the fox squirrel. The daily bag limit during the regular season is a generous 8. But during this season, remember, it's only 3 during the spring, and your possession limit is 9. Some of your favorite public spots, it's closed. It's not open on the Kisatchee National Forest, some of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers property, and even a few of the state WMAs is closed. But squirrel hunting is really good for the kids. It's a way to keep them active, aware. You know, with the short attention spans, sometimes sitting in a deer box, they get bored. They want to bring their little Game Boys and iPads with them into the stands. Squirrel hunting, you can either sit or you can stalk. Usually there's more action. And it's a way to introduce young hunters and gradually move up into deer hunting. And that's the way it used to be when I was a kid. You started off hunting squirrels and then you moved up to the bigger game. Ducks and geese and deer. But these days now, the kids jump right into the deer hunting, and really miss a lot by not getting those squirrels. And let me tell you, squirrel meat is, they call it chicken of the trees. It is very, very versatile. It's kind of like chicken or rabbit. There's a lot of ways you can cook it. You can gumbo it. You get some young tender ones, or you marinate them. You can fry them in a batter. You can put them in a crock pot with some barbecue sauce. Jambalaya makes a good addition to that. Just an awful lot of ways. So check it out, squirrel hunting, and it's a good opportunity. It's going to be open for the entire month, through at least through May 25th. You can get out there and bag you some of those bushy tails. All right, Red Snapper. Red Snapper opened up here in Louisiana on Thursday. I haven't got any reports yet. I'd like to hear from some of you who went out. What size snapper did you find? How far did you have to go out to get your limit? And did you get your limit? At 16-inch minimum size, 4 per person. It's open 7 days a week here in Louisiana. It's pretty interesting to compare how all the states regulate their red snapper season. You know, our season opened up Thursday, and it will remain open until the recreational allocation is filled. And they do that with near real-time reporting. They will survey hunters and fishermen and find out what they're catching and kind of project when that quota will be reached. It usually goes all the way into the fall, depending on how many people participate, what kind of weather we've had, what kind of access, and what the catch was. It'll last later than sooner in some instances. So this year the quota is 894,955 pounds. Last year, we were just under 1 million, but we went over it by about 40,000. So when that happens, they deduct it off of your next year quota. So there's plenty of snapper to get out there and catch. They're pretty easy to catch, and what a great versatile fish that is. I mean, what's your favorite snapper recipe if you got one? Text us at 504-260-1870. Our neighbors in Alabama, their season will open on the Friday before Memorial Day. That's 23rd of this month. They will also have a 7-day-a-week season through June 30th. And then after that, it will be open for 4-day weekends, starting July 4th until they catch their quota. Got some news from a fellow news reporter I used to work with, Deb Albertson. She's over in Florida now, and she sent me some information about the Governor Ron DeSantis has announced a record 126-day Gulf Red Snapper recreational season for this year. It's the longest season since Florida got into the assumed management of the Gulf Red Snapper. See, the states used to let the feds set their seasons, and then when the states took over the management of it, we got a lot more opportunity, a lot more days, a lot more limits. Works a whole lot better. The states are much more efficient than are the federal government. And I'm proud to tell you that it was here in Louisiana that the Lac Creel, which is that program, was started here in Louisiana and adopted by other states. Florida season, if you're going to be fishing over there, goes over the Memorial Day weekend. They've got a May 24th, 26th short opening. Then it reopens June 1st and runs through July 31st. And then they have a fall season for weekends in September, October, November, December, depending on their quota allocation when that's caught. Now, they got a lot of fishermen going after snapper and other species. There are 4 million licensed fishermen in the state of Florida. All right, going to tell you a little bit more about snapper fishing and where you can see me using one of those descending devices. You can see that now. I'll tell you how right after we come back from this quick, short 3-minute break where you are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. It was announced this week that the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission here in Louisiana has got a new commissioner. That would be Jimmy Martin Sr. from Cutoff, Louisiana, was appointed by Governor Jeff Landry. He will be one of the at-large commissioners, of which there are 4. He has 64 years of experience as a business owner and an operator in the commercial fishing and oil and gas industries. He said that his reason for serving on the commission is because he regards the shrimping industry as a valued resource that needs active preservation. According to statute, the Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries Commission is made up of 7 members. They're all appointed by the governor and then subject to confirmation by our Senate. And they are to include 3 residents of the coastal parishes who are representatives of the commercial fishing and fur industry. and the other four members from the state are selected at large. But as in this case, sometimes an at-large member, I guess, would also qualify as a commercial representative, having experience in the shrimp industry as well as the oil and gas. So there he is. Welcome aboard, Jimmy Martin, Sr. of Cutoff, Louisiana, appointed by Governor Landry to serve on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second pause. I'll be back to talk more about the snapper season and also get to your text messages at 504-260-1870. We'll be right back after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got a lot of folks going to be red snapper fishing this coming week, and hopefully they'll get out this weekend. In fact, our Bayou Wild team has a crew trying to get out there this morning aboard the Kemosabe with the Rainey family, Lance Burgess and Chris LeCocq, the producer-editor. It's a Tigers in the Wild episode. Ahmad Bro and Jacobian Guillory, a couple of the big linemen for the LSU Tigers, are going out there to pit their skills against red snapper. Hopefully they'll be able to get out with this weather. If not, maybe they'll go for an inside trip. But looking right now where they're fishing off of Vermilion Bay, looks like there's a lot of light rain out there. I don't know what the seas are, but hopefully they can get that trip in, and you'll be able to watch that on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild TV. And speaking of that, this week's episode is red snapper fishing. We went out on the charter boat Cougar out of Delta Marina, and that's one of the last remaining what they used to call headboats, where you can bring your crew out there, your party, and sometimes combine with other folks and catch bottom feeding fish offshore like the red snapper. Now, on this particular trip we did, I brought one of those descending devices. I have a descending device, which is the piece of gear or gadget. When you pull up offshore fish, especially snapper, from deep water, and you pull them up fast, the change in the pressure, see, they regulate their movement in their depth movement by the gas in their swim bladder. And when you pull them up, what happens is that gas expands rapidly, and it pushes the stomach out of their mouth, and it renders the fish incapable of swimming or diving. And so it's susceptible to predators. Now, if the fish is keeper size, well, that's no problem. You put it in your ice well. But if the fish has to be released, if you throw a fish in that condition, he doesn't have much of a chance. Between the birds and the sharks and the other predators, he's not likely to survive. So you got options. You, of course, if you're fishing snapper, you have to have a device that you puncture right behind the pectoral fin. You puncture a hole through the side of the fish with like a hypodermic and allows the gas to escape, and the fish can swim back safely and it heals up. But there's also another way to do it, and it's called the descending device. And you keep a separate rod and reel that has a weight on it and a clip that is a quick-release clip. And you drop the fish back down to the depth where it came from. You hit the release, it opens up, and the fish swims off. You get him back down to where his swim bladder is already adjusted for the proper depth. So anyway, I demonstrate how to use that. Check it out. You can catch it on Bayou Wild TV. And if you're not familiar with the channels that are available in your area, we air all across the South. You can check us out on BayouWildTV.com, and there's a listing there for the times and the locations where we air. And if all else fails, you can watch it on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, and just watch this week's episode, BayouWildTV.com. If you're in the Lafayette, Acadiana area, we will be airing a little bit earlier, later this morning at 6:30. Sunday, tomorrow, we air in on My16 WBXH in Baton Rouge. You already missed My54. In New Orleans, we air before the show comes on at 4 a.m. The REV, the River Region channels, we air several times, 12:30 this afternoon, 5:30 tomorrow afternoon. We air at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays. In the Lake Charles area, we're on at 6 a.m. We'll be on in about 20 minutes on Fox 29. That's SWLA-ABC, and the Southeastern Louisiana University Channel, 6 p.m. Thursdays on Charter Spectrum 199. So those are the times and stations where it airs, but again, you can watch it where you want, whenever you like, at BayouWild.com. BadWeatherTV.com. In fact, on Bad Weather Weekends, you can do a binge weekend and watch all the back issues. All of our episodes from the last 7-8 years are all up there. All right, speaking of TV programs, Louisiana Coastal Cooking is continuing its 13 episodes. I'll be back to tell you what this week's episode is. But first, this quick time out on the outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, let's check on some of our text messages. If you'd like to shoot us one, your questions, your comments, your reports, always welcome at 504-260-1870. And this one says, don't forget the benefit for Captain Mike Helmet. The drawing is May 6th. Lots of great prizes. I've got my ticks. I'm going to mention that a little bit later on for folks that have not heard about it yet. But yeah, time is running out, and the drawing is coming up next week. All right, here's one from The Worm. He says, my wife tells me I have a Don Dubuque problem. Now, Worm, I've come up against this many, many times, and I'll tell you how to deal with this. You know, a lot of the wives, because you guys are listening and your radio is in your bedroom and you wake up and you got it on and it wakes them up and they kind of feel annoyed, so they complain about it. I've got a lot of women that say, you know, I wake up with you every Saturday morning. You know, I mean, how many women can one man wake up with? But the key, Worm, is what you got to do is bring her into the show. Tell her what it's all about, and maybe she'll get interested in it, and then that way y'all can listen together, and she won't say, you've got a Don Dubuque problem. You got to solve it. All right, then we got our friend David Hubble. He's listening to us over in Mobile, and he's talking about his flora that he's had planted for a while. He's got Melaton, of course. Yeah, he's the Mobile Melaton man. We're going to have to designate him as that. But he's also got green eggplant going, several varieties of Louisiana tomatoes, white patty pan squash, the cukes, okra, kookoosa, potatoes, and one of his favorites, the Louisiana purple pod peas. You got a regular farm going there, a vegetable farm, a great deal. And he's saying the rain should do them good. Well, you're going to have some great veggies for this upcoming summer. All right, and we got this one. Asking about why people don't participate in the spring squirrel season. This one says, I've always shied away from squirrel due to blood flukes. Any rhyme to that reason? This was Graham's advice. Blood flukes. Not familiar with those. I guess it's kind of like a tick or something. And you do find some of the ticks on squirrels. And there's also a thing that, I don't know where this name came from, but the old-timers called it, that squirrel's got the wolf. And it's when botflies lay eggs in the squirrel's skin, and it erupts, and they lose the hair from scratching it. It's very unappetizing, I can tell you that. There's nothing harmful in it. I mean, you can still eat the squirrel, just cut that part away if you choose to do so. But that is also a deterrent for people hunting squirrels. They call it the wolf, and maybe somebody can tell me where that name came from, but I don't know. Anyway, here's one that agrees with Robbie Campo using the sliding barber. I use them in fresh and salt water. That's from Big E. And the sliding cork or sliding barber, we talk about that a lot. Mike Gallo is also a proponent of it. And it's when the fish are stratified and they're not on the bottom, but they're not near the surface, and they're too deep to where you can put a cork and have line that you can cast. So there's a way that you can put like a stopper or tie a knot on your line at a certain depth, and it stops the cork. So you might want to fish, say, at 15 feet. Well, you put that knot or the stopper at 15 feet up the line. The cork slides up and down. In other words, it's not pinned against the clipped against the line. The line actually runs through it. So as it seeks its own depth, and you can move your stopper or your knot up and down to adjust the depth that you want to fish at. It's a very effective method to do it. It's called a slot. You can find it on YouTube, and it's an easy thing. Some of them, they sell little stoppers that you can buy commercially and put them on there. Some people make them, and otherwise you can just tie certain knots that will stop that bobber. But you can use them. They're also very effective for fishing the crappie or the white perch when they're suspended at certain depth. Once you find that comfort zone that those fish are in, you can really wear them out. But if you're fishing on the bottom with weight, then you're below the fish. If you're fishing with a short cork, you're fishing above. And I can't tell you how many times we've been fishing with sliding corks, and somebody will pull up next to us in the boat, and they see we're fishing with a cork, so they put a cork up about 3 feet from their bait, and they throw it out there, and they're not getting any bites. They don't understand why we're catching fish, and it's because the sliding cork looks like it's only 3 feet away, but once it hits and it goes down, it's seeking that depth for which you've set it. So anyway, enough talk about that. All right, want to remind you about the Louisiana Coastal Cooking Features. There's 13 episodes. This week's is Louisiana Oyster Traditions. You'll take you out and see Dr. Chris Cenac and Terrebonne Parish's oyster industry. Then the cooking part of it is Tommy Satanovich, a good buddy of mine from Drago's Restaurants, char-broiled oysters. There's fresh shucked oysters with the cocktail sauce. That's pretty simple, from Dickie Brennan's. And also the combination pan roast from Pascal Manali, Chef Grant Wallace, and Pascal Manali's. And that airs on public television, WYES, at 9 a.m. this morning and 11 tomorrow. And it's also airing nationwide on public broadcast. And you may have heard that this week President Trump signed an executive order to defund the Public Broadcast Corporation, which supports a lot of local public broadcast and national public radio. And, you know, I've talked to people with public broadcasting, and I've told them it's really your fault. You need more programs like this Louisiana Coastal Cooking Series that entertain and inform instead of running biased political programs and things that people are not interested in. So anyway, we'll see how that turns out. I'm sure it's going to be appealed, but for now it looks like public broadcasting may in fact go away, and that would be a shame because there's so much opportunity for programs like this, and a lot of states have outdoor shows. But then again, if the programming is good enough, it should get sponsor support. I wish somebody would, a government agency would fund my TV show. That would sure be nice. But we rely on the great sponsors we've got. But anyway, Louisiana Coastal Cooking, 13 episodes are going to be airing now through June 28th. And be sure you don't miss episode number, I believe it's one. Which one did I do the cooking on? It's 111. That would be on the June 14th. And I'll remind you about it. All right, we're going to take a time out, come back and talk to Darryl Carpenter, find out what happened as that storm passed through Grand Isle. What are you going to be left with for this weekend and the early part of next week? He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's check in with RealScreamers.com. Darryl Carpenter, Captain Darryl, are you down on the island? Did you have a trip planned today?
Oh, yeah, Don. Yes to both. Going to wait, you know, got to just kind of wait and see how it's going to play out. Looks like the rain's over with. It wasn't much, I promise you. I'm out to water my garden today. And it got a little light south breeze blowing, but other than that, everything looks like it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it looks like you're in a hole right now at the moment where it's clear, and then behind it moving towards you from the west, it looks just like some light stuff out there. What's the winds looking like?
They're light out of the southeast right now, five to eight or so out of the south-southeast. It's the lightest wind we've seen in, what, 2-3 weeks?
Wow, should be a lot of snapper fishermen headed offshore under those conditions. But I'm sure you're going inside for the trout and reds. What's your plan?
Yeah, Don, I wish that Gulf would calm down so we could get out there to, you know, because we've got a salinity problem going on here with all that river water. We've got, in fact, a buddy of mine brought a hydrometer down the other day, and the right here at Grand Isle, the salt was 10 parts per thousand, which, you know, you well know that's almost fresh water. Yeah. But, I mean, Don, we've just been having to travel to find some good fish. With all the fresh water, it's just, you know, speckled trout don't like that fresh water. I did get a whole lot of good, I got a whole lot of good snapper reports from people that were able to sneak out. They, of course, opening day is something that spurs a lot of folks. They talked about how they got their tails kicked trying to get back in, but, you know, they made it out there. Looks like everybody, you know, most of the people I talked to, they were out 20 to 30 miles, and the snapper were easy, 45 minutes to catch a full boat limit. And then they did report that, you know, the reports I got were the fish are running a little bit larger than average. Of course, early season, and they haven't had any pressure on them. They had fish up to 20, 21 pounds.
Wow, that's some really good reports there. Well, Darryl, getting back to those speckled trout, you know, in certain areas, I guess close in Grand Isle, the water's not deep enough to where you got the fresh water on top and the salt water underneath. So maybe you got to go out a little further and find them where the salt water's there. Even though you're looking at river water on top, a lot of times it'll fool you, and there's actually fish feeding underneath it in salt water. But you got to have a good depth to have that situation.
Yeah, Don, and what we found the last few days is, you know, when we get to calm day, because that's been a problem lately, the wind's just been kicking it real hard, but the water is so filthy dirty, and we're starting to see a lot of debris in it too. But what we have found is it's almost you have to have that live croaker, and that croaker over that shrimp, because you need that croaker out there, you know, doing his croaking and making that noise for those trout to be able to find him. But that's been the ticket that's worked for us, is, you know, to put that live bait on the bottom. Shrimp just aren't working a whole lot right now. We need, unless you find some of that cleaner water, we're able to get out on that beach and run a little bit to the west, and it doesn't matter what you throw in, they're hitting it. But in this dirty water, if you can get your hands on some croakers, that's your best bet right now. You put that croaker on the bottom underneath that dirty water, and you let that fish find him.
For people that are lucky enough to get a hold of some croakers, what's your best method for hooking them?
Well, it depends on what you want to do, Don, and what size they are. I mean, a lot of times this time of the year, they're still rather small. And when they do that, either be gentle with them, hooking them through the lip, or sometimes straight through the eye sockets. If you're in a situation where you're freelining them, you know, if you're Carolina rigging them, it really doesn't matter, as long as you stay away from killing them. If you're freelining them now, you know, that's where the difference makes. If you hook them in the shoulders, freelining, they tend to swim a little bit higher. If you hook them closer to the tail, as long as you got to stay above that lateral line, or you'll pretty much kill them because you're hitting the backbone. But if you hook them more toward the tail, they typically tend to swim down deeper. So when you're doing stuff like that, it's when it really matters. If you put them on a Carolina rig underneath, you know, if you hook them anywhere in the front of the body, they stay alive longer, because if you've got to reel him in, you're not reeling him in backwards. But there, it really doesn't matter, because the weight's holding him down.
Yeah, and you got to be sure and give that fish a lot of time, because that's a big bait and it takes him a while to get it in. And if you jerk it to set the hook as soon as he taps it, you're going to pull it right out of his mouth. Let that fish get that croaker down in there before you set the hook. Just let him swim off. In fact, maybe give him a little bit of slack.
Yep.
Darryl, somebody wants to get you, give us your contact info.
Well, they can find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com that's got most of the information on it. Or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, Darryl, give us a report on how you do today next week when we talk to you.
Thank you, Don. You have a good day.
All righty, that's Darryl Carpenter. We come back after the top of the hour break. More fishing reports, Bad Boys of the Outdoors on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Lots of fishing talk. We got the opening day of the spring squirrel season in Louisiana. Red snapper are now fair game. And we've got a late season frontal system moving through the Gulf Coast, and it's going to be much nicer later today and tomorrow and into next week. Get out and enjoy it, and we're trying to help you do that. All right, we also take text messages during the show live, direct into the studio at 504-260-1870. We were asking for favorite red snapper recipes, and the backstrap sacker says, fresh off the boat, straight into the grease, flour, little Tony Sasseries, fry them, and then hit them with some lemon juice right out of the fryer. You know, that's simplicity when it comes to snapper is probably the best way. I'm sure you're filleting them there and then putting a little flour, a little seasoning, and then lemon juice when it comes out of the hot grease. That's a great recipe there. Simple, but very good. All right, the worm's getting back to me. His wife accuses him of having a Don Dubuque problem. He's one of our regular listeners. He says she enjoys the show, but when they're on vacation, he has to wake up at 3 a.m. to listen. And that's when she says, I have a problem. Well, the other solution to the Don Dubuque problem would be to catch the replays. Just go to our website, and you can listen to them after they air. So that might solve your problem of Don Dubuque. All right, we have this one. Let's see. He says, Don, it's worth note that in today's world, with YouTube and every other platform available, anyone who is on a public broadcast that has an audience could easily keep going if they choose. I would think they at least have a shot of keeping their audience. Yeah, that's true of somebody who does a podcast or their own program. But what we're talking about on public broadcast is government funding, the taxpayer money being used to produce television programming, either news or specialty programs. And obviously the time maybe has come for public broadcast. Like you said, it's YouTube. There's so many different channels now. Back when it was formed, they only had three network channels, and it gave you a little bit of an option. And, of course, they were supposed to be politically neutral, which obviously they are not. But if they would have done more of the type of programs that people are interested in looking for, number one, they wouldn't need government funding as much. They could reduce that and get some regular corporate sponsorship. But evidently, it looks like they are their own undoing, and we'll see. We'll track how it goes. All right, got some more text in. We got Chip Clement. He's in cool 64-degree LaRonja. He's headed over to Superior Bait and Tackle in Baton Rouge. Well, say hello to Mark if Mark's there on a Saturday morning, which I doubt. He may be fishing. We have this one. Salt's checking in at the Mandeville Lakefront. He's trying his luck, hopefully, to catch a redfish. His question is, I have a bunch of squirrels in my yard, and they're tearing up my garden. I've had it and planning on doing a little backyard spring squirrel hunting. Are neighborhood squirrels safe to eat? They're mostly gray squirrels. I've always heard about the wolf's disease around this time. Normally, yeah, a neighborhood squirrel and a wild squirrel, not much difference. If they're eating in your garden, they're probably a little bit more well-fed than a wild squirrel. But that wolves problem is caused by the flies that get in, lay eggs in the skin. And when the larva erupt, it leaves a real bad-looking sore. They scratch it. A lot of times the squirrels don't have hair in that spot. And they're pretty unappetizing. But, again, you could do the spring squirrel hunting to do some damage control for your garden. Good luck to you. All right, we come back after this break. We're going to start off our second hour fishing reports. The guy we call Born on the Bayou, Captain Mike Gallo, will find out what his plan is for a Saturday morning, where a late-season front has moved through his area, headed towards Florida, leaving us with a little bit of residual light rain, but some cooler temperatures and much nicer weather tomorrow and in the early part of next week. We're back with Mike right after this pause, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And wise anglers like Captain Mike Gallo know that you don't leave the dock without having the peace of mind of a SeaTow membership, because for $249 a year, that will get you free boat towing, bring you fuel, jumpstart you if that's your problem, service on every boat you own, rent, or even borrow. It's 100% coverage on tows from your home dock to a repair facility. It's a great program, and it's easy to do. Just call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or go to seatow.com, and it is Robbie Campo endorsed. Let's talk to Captain Mike. Mike, we just had a rock and roll front move through your area, but I think the worst is behind us. You headed out today?
I am not headed out today, Don. My clients and I, after much conversation and looking at the weather yesterday, decided to reschedule and push it into a further date.
I got you. Well, if they can, you know, have the opportunity and the time to do that, sometimes that is best to go for the better conditions. What did you do this week? Did you get out? How many trips did you go on? Where'd you go, and what'd you find?
We had a very good week. Limits were fairly common. Didn't seem to matter whether you fished live bait or artificial. I know one day the marina did not have any live shrimp, and we fished all plastics and did just as well catching limits. I call them full limits when I not only catch my limit of fish, but two of them are over 20 for that particular customer. So it's been a very good week. As we get closer to that new moon, that's a little bit expected. The bite always seems to pick up with those bigger fish around the full moon and the new moon, and it's what's going on at the moment. So very promising as we move forward into this spring, into summer. Things are really looking good.
I believe the river gauge in New Orleans was at 16.4. The news earlier this week was that they're probably not going to have to open it, but that's still, you know, a consideration. Are you having any problem in your area with river water that you need to stay away from or fish underneath?
We're definitely fishing on the bottom. And if you remember, a month ago, the Pearl River was at flood stage. So we've already been dealing with an influx of fresh water and a dirty layer on the surface. But it hadn't bothered us one bit. We still look for clean, moving water with bait fish, as we always do. We just fish the best we can. Obviously, if you don't catch what you're looking for in a few minutes, then you need to move. I can tell you all of our fish have been caught over shell pads or hard bottom, either the bridges in Lake Pontchartrain, some of the gas wells in Lake Bourne have been productive. I personally have done more fishing at the bridges because they're just so close to the lodge. It's literally a 15-minute boat ride, and we're fishing.
You know, I've been seeing a lot of reports that people are catching speckled trout in Lake Pontchartrain, but they're not fishing the pads. They're not fishing the bridges. Are they fishing the banks or open water? You have any idea? Because they're not giving away their locations.
Well, what you want to do is find grass beds. And that's where your bait fish are going to try to hide from the predators as shrimp start to migrate into the system. Now, I haven't caught trout in Lake Pontchartrain yet where I found shrimp in their stomachs. But I have caught fish in Lake Bourne that had shrimp in their stomachs. So they're not far away, and maybe I just didn't catch fish that were eating shrimp. But when those shrimp move into the estuary, they're certainly going to hide out in those grass beds to try to protect themselves. The grass conditions the water as it filters, so they work hand in hand with one another.
Mike,
probably where people are fishing, near the grass bed.
Right. Mike, I never hear you talk about fishing with croakers. We were talking with Darryl a little early about fishing with croakers. I know down around Robbie's area in Shell Beach, fishing with croakers is very effective in Hopedale. Is there a reason why you don't use croakers? Is it they're not available or you don't like to use them or they're not successful in your area? Because I know, strangely enough, cockahoes just don't catch fish in Lake Pontchartrain.
That's true. Cockahoe minnows do not do very well for trout in Lake Pontchartrain. I don't have an issue at all with using croakers. They're just not readily available in our area. Sometimes during the year, when the pogies get bigger and we can see them in schools, we break the cast net out, and trout love eating those pogies. So we're not opposed to it. It's more or less they're not as readily available. And it's pretty easy for me to work 10 or 12 hours a day. I certainly don't want to throw a cast net for another hour catch bait. So I got to opt for the easy out with the marinas providing bait for us, and we go from there.
Yeah, those croakers can be very effective, particularly catching those trout you were talking about over 20 inches. They love them at certain times of the year. You know, somebody started a rumor years ago that and I hear it every now and then, that the trout and the croakers are mortal enemies because the croakers eat the trout eggs and it's out of vengeance. I don't think a fish can be vengeful or even think things like that. I think they're much more instinctive, and croakers just taste good and they look good and they gobble them up. It's not an animosity type thing.
Right. I had that same exact conversation with Gerald Horse, who was lead biologist with the Wildlife and Fisheries for many years. And he said the same thing. Once a female trout drops those eggs, she's done with them.
Right.
She's done her part. And it doesn't really enter her mind as to what happens to them, whether something's eating them and she wants to be vengeful. As far as the croaker, it's probably not as fast of a fish as a trout is. They're a little bit easy to catch, and they're generally pretty good size. So it's a good meal for the trout. Eat one, and they're probably done eating for the day.
Yeah, we humans like to eat croakers, so I don't see why the trout wouldn't either. Mike, if you would, give us your contact information. I know you're a busy guy, and if somebody wants to get a trip with you, don't give them my date now with you. We've got to keep that date book solid. But for any of the other dates that are open, tell them how to get you.
Very simple. You can find me on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is aaofla.com. Social media, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the telephone, 985-781-7811.
Every way except smoke signals, huh?
I forgot how to read smoke signals, but I feel that old.
There you go. All right, Cap Mike, have a great weekend. Thanks for the report. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
There he goes. We call him the forensic fisherman, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, coming up next, Brendan Bayard. He likes to paddle after his fish, or pedal, so to speak. He's got the recap of last week's Paddlepalooza and more right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Paddle boat, including kayak fishing, is so popular, we have a special feature dedicated each week to it, and it's brought to you by No Wake Outfitters at 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. They are a fly shop specialist. They've got outdoor gear, including the Layers fishing tackle that works in your area. They've got sharp-looking apparel, paddle sports equipment, including kayaks themselves. You can ask Justin about the fly tying and fly fishing classes when they have them scheduled. They'll be open later today, 10 a.m. That's at No Wake Outfitters Airline Drive in Metairie. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And, Brendan, from your perspective, let's revisit Paddlepalooza last weekend.
Yes, sir. We had a good time out there. If it wasn't for the river water, it would have been a totally wonderful weekend. It was a little challenging just navigating all that dirty water that blew in from that river that's just pumping out high, dirty water. And I guess that southeast wind eventually just pushed it over to Grand Isle for us, but no worries. Everybody caught fish, and we had Robert Burkhart as our grand champion. He got to take the coveted ride in the kayak, holding his trophy around the weigh-in, which was always fun. That's a tradition we do every time for the winter. And then Steve Lessard finished in second, and Benton Parrott from Alabama finished in third. So lots of success.
Yes, and popular names. That was a little special for you because you had your son fishing with you.
Yeah, me and my son, who's going to Mississippi State in the fall, so I had a little chance to go fishing with him, and we caught a lot of nice flounder, so that was always fun. I enjoy eating flounder as much as catching flounder, but we got into a mess of them, and he ended up with a placing in the flounder division. So happy son, happy dad, if you will.
Well, congratulations to him. Now, when you're targeting flounder, like in these slam tournaments, flounder is usually the hardest one for people to target. Is that primarily where you concentrate, catch a marsh drain?
Yeah, you know, it's certainly easier, I think, to wait until the tide is falling and get some areas where, you know, that all the little critters that are up in the grass start to get pushed out with the tide, and you just kind of find those really shallow ambush spots where the tide is rolling through them. You know, we found areas where, like, the marsh would drain through, you know, maybe like a 3-foot-wide drain, and those little creeks, if you will, were, you know, about a foot deep. We were just, you know, blank carpet bomb them with jigs until we found the one spot that the flounder was laying down in that little creek, and just kind of repeated and did that over and over again. And it was pretty great.
You got to think like a flounder, and they are an ambush animal. So you got to figure the places where they would set up to ambush bait moving out. Great job. All right. Now, for the record, did Robert, Steve, and Benton, which one of those had motorized kayaks?
I think Steve and Benton had motorized kayaks. I'm not sure if Robert had them. And I would say that the places that that everybody but Steve fished, and I know that personally just because I know where these guys fished, I don't think it made a difference into where they got to, mm-hmm. except for Steve. He went a little further than most people, but I've been out where Steve fished without a motor, so you know that's, you know, not a big deal in my opinion. You know, the one place where motors might shine is if you are going to spot hop a lot and you're going to place, you know, one of your places is maybe like 5 miles or 4 miles out, and then you need to get back and move your car. But, you know, I think a lot of people, I saw a lot of people catch a lot of fish, and a lot of those guys didn't have motors. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as it is. You know, the guys that won, Robert's been, you know, doing really well for the last 2 years, getting better. You know, he's won the big trout, I don't know how many times lately. He's really coming on strong. And then Steve and Benton, of course, have been champions and angler of the years, you know, forever. So I don't think the motors matter for those guys.
You're right about that. All right, coming up in 3 weeks, Dawn Till Dusk, which is the third and the fourth of the championship series for BCKFC. Tell us about that one.
That's going to be a full day, get lots of coffee and energy drinks day. It's a 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. anywhere in the state fishing tournament, CPR. It's kind of, you know, basically go out and find your best two reds and five trout and see what kind of stringer you can make. That one's always fun. It's going to be on Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, most people should have that off. So looking forward to that. It's usually some pretty good trout. And I think, you know, the trout are just ready to explode along the shore right now. You know, if it wasn't for that dirty water, we would have had a wonderful time on the beach this last weekend, but the fish are still over there. They're, you know, all up behind Elmer's Island and behind Grand Isle. So as soon as that water clears out, it's going to be on.
Should be a good time. BCKFC, you can get signed up there. Brendan, thanks so much for the report, and congratulations to your son on the flounder.
All right. Thank you, Don. Take care.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Brendan Bayard. All right, we come back after this. Oh, yeah, bad boy time. We got a guy got himself in a mess of trouble. We'll tell you his story right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, taking a look at our text message board. We said, Don, great show. What lure do you throw when the shad spawn bass bite has slowed? Tight lines, thanks. That's from the big man Bassin in Covington. I tell you what, when patterns change like that, my go-to bait is a plastic worm. Texas-style rigged. I mean, that has proven to catch maybe more bass than any other bait, and although it's much more popular in the late spring and summer than other times, it works all the time. Always keep one of those with you. Here's another. Hi, Don. Do you ever have Moon Griffon on your show to talk about fishing? He loves to fish, talks about it on his talk show during the week. I listen from North Carolina. For those of you not familiar with Moon Griffon, Moon has been a longtime radio talk show host. He's got a small network like I do. His flagship station, those of you listening to us on 96.5 FM KPEL in Lafayette, well know Moon. That's his flagship station. And I listen to Moon Griffon. I like the guy. I've never met him in person. And I got to tell you, he is probably the most knowledgeable person there is in the state concerning Louisiana politics, and that's what his main discussion is on his show. That's a good idea. I'm going to contact Moon and see if we can get him on for a short little report and talk about fishing and maybe talk about his show. I really enjoy it. I think he listens to my show. At least I hope he does. All right, we also got this one. Good morning. The TICFAW 200 is this weekend. Lakes Maurepas and Pontchartrain will be crazy with speedboats. That's from the River Rat. All right, everybody out there, be on guard for fast-moving big boats and make sure you take all the necessary boating safety precautions, including wearing that kill switch, which a bad boy failed to do. We'll tell you the rest of his crime right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Back on Wednesday, April the 16th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Agent Sergeant Scott Dupree, Agent Savannah Laverne, were patrolling East Grande Lake in St. Martin Parish when they observed Dwayne Hebert operating a hand-tiller-steered outboard boat. During a boating safety inspection, they found that Hebert did not possess any personal flotation devices and failed to wear his cutoff lanyard. Now, for those of you non-boaters, a cutoff lanyard is also known as a kill switch. It clips onto your shirt or your belt and attaches to the key in your ignition. And what happens is if you fall away from the area where you're stealing or get ejected out of the boat, the kill switch kills the engine and not you, and he failed to have that on. He also possessed a 38 caliber pistol, which in his case was really a bad, bad move since he is also a convicted felon. During the inspection, the agents also determined that Hebert was impaired and cited him for DWI, illegal possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, failing to possess the required amount of personal flotation devices, and failing to wear a cut-off lanyard. And if convicted of all these alleged charges, facing loss of his driver's license and boating privileges, $6,100 in maximum criminal fines, and up to 20 years in jail, is 47-year-old Dwayne Hebert of Pierrepart, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Think they'll ever collect that $6,100? I doubt it. Good luck to Dwayne Hebert, our bad boy. Yeah, those kill switches, man, that's a vital piece of equipment that you got to have. All right, Bad Boys of the Outdoors. This feature is a presentation of our Louisiana Wildlife Agents Associations, who also help us make the stories. It's a nonprofit group, and if you check out their website, LWAA, it's actually support, LWAA.org. Got lots of great little items, T-shirts and hats and all the gear that they wear for the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries logo. So check them out, LWAA, or support LWAA.org. All right, when we come back, it's time to talk to our plastic man. That would be Captain Ryan Lambert, who owns and operates Cajun Fishing Adventures down near the tip of Louisiana's Boot in Burris, Louisiana. You'll hear from him next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the plastic man is armed with plastic of all types, headed out there for the fish, and he's got about 30, 35 years of experience behind his belt, too. So the fish are in trouble this morning. Ryan, where are you headed today?
I'm sitting at Port Eads right now.
Port Eads? Oh, man, you're down the river. You're way down the river.
I'm down. If I slip up, I'm going to have to see speak Spanish.
What are you going fishing for down there?
I'm going to start with speckled trout, then go to snappers, then go to mangroves and triple tails.
Whoa, man, that's quite a menu there.
Yep, I'm on a mission.
What's their snapper report? Darrell over in Grand Isle said, man, it was easy limits, close in, and some pretty big fish up to 20, 25 pounds opening day.
Yeah, I've seen people catching three at a time. I mean, it's good. I don't want to catch my whole limit at one time.
You know, so, big difference between fishing those red snapper and those mangroves, you know? They're both in the same family, but what a difference, huh?
They're such a smarter fish, you know. Mangroves, you know, they can get persnickety on you. You know, you got to go down on your line size and tiny hooks and drifting baits with no weights. You know, there's a lot of techniques to it, but, you know, some people can catch them at ease, but not me. I got to work for them.
Yeah, and, you know, pound for pound, man, they are a fighter. They'll get you into that rig quick. You got to get them out of there or you're gone. He'll break you off in a heartbeat.
And they're so good eating. They're really good table fare.
They are. They are.
So we're going to start with the trout early, and the trout been biting really, really good. So we're going there. The boys been doing really, really good with the reds every single day by the lodge. I mean, they just hammering the reds, catching so many rat reds and you know, after, you know, during the day. I mean, they must be catching 50 little ones a boat, you know, and plus the big ones, plus bulls. So everybody's having a good time.
Man, that's great. Good news, man.
Especially the river's at flood stage, and it's just still rocking right along.
The latest I'm hearing from the Corps is they don't think they're going to have to open it, but they got their eye on it. They're monitoring it. So hopefully it won't have to. I mean, it's already got a few pins. They're letting some water through because I saw some coming in the Lake Pontchartrain when I was crossing the back end of the spillway, but it's not a whole lot, and they don't think they're going to have to keep it open for any length of time, even if they do open it.
Yeah, they had those pins when they were practicing. They pulled a couple of pins, but it always leaks through anyhow when it gets this high. And it's crested already, so it's going to start falling, but it's going to stay in the 16s most of the month, you know, and then drop out. And by the end of May, I think it's going to be 7-something. So, yeah, the crisis part is over, so I don't think they're not going to open a spillway unless we get a major flood coming from somewhere else. But, you know, it's good. But it's the river's at 16.8, and I've been in it every day. You just got to watch. There's trees. I mean, monstrous trees everywhere.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to run before daylight right now because, I mean, not logs, trees floating in the river. So you really want to be careful. That river's no place to play anyhow. I mean, you got to really have your eyes on a swivel when you're going down a river when it's this high.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk and all kind of debris in there, and it's can be a dangerous situation. Good thing there's no fog, because you get fog combined with a high river. That's a real recipe for disaster.
That's stay home and cut grass day there. It's you know, not only that, but the current. You know, if you get sideways in the current, or your engine dies or something, and you get, you know, turned around, it's, you know, you're talking about 1.2 million gallons a second. That's 77 million basketballs a minute going by. That's huge.
Yes, it is.
You really got to respect it. But, you know, everything else is pretty good. You know, the neotropical birds are around, and that's pretty to watch. So everything, it's just that time of year, buddy.
You know, speaking of birds, I just came back from Tennessee this week, and I was turkey hunting up there, but I was chatting with a friend of mine who is a real avid duck hunter, and he was telling me about how the Tennessee Department of Natural Resources manages waterfowl and waterfowl hunting, and, man, they make these blinds available by lottery, by drawing for them. And they're right adjacent to flooded cornfields, which is what the department does that. And they have been slamming the ducks in those areas. He said you still got to have some cold weather, but, man, he says the hunting up there was fantastic for ducks this year. A lot of mallards. They still have plenty of mallards up there.
I was talking to Josh Goins this week, and he said that Missouri is unbelievable how their tax dollars are going to do the flooded corn and that kind of stuff. It's all detrimental to us at the end of the day, but, you know, I like my ducks. You know that.
Yeah. Well, the problem is we're down at the end here. We could, you know, grow corn and flood it, but if the ducks gonna come here to find it, you know, what good has it done? And I got to call Josh. He's been trying to get in touch with me, and I've been busy, and I'm missing him, and I need to talk with him.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, if you put up 10 gallons of corn out there, you get arrested. So it doesn't make any sense for one guy to be able to shoot on corn, and one guy can't put a cup out there. So. And then, like you said, you know, how many ducks are down here these days to come eat it? Not near as what it used to be. But we've just lost too much habitat to keep them down here. You know, it takes so many food hours to keep those ducks. I mean, we're talking about millions of ducks eating every day. So we just don't have the aquatic vegetation. But maybe this year the river's real high and a lot of grass is growing. By June, we'll have to be covered with grass. So if we don't get a storm, maybe we could save some of it this year.
Yeah, we need some hard, cold weather, too, to drive them down. That's always a help. Well, look, I'm glad you all set up. Yeah, I'm glad you all set up and got your stuff rocking and rolling down there. Get those specs, get those snapper. And what was triple tail. You going to scout around for some
triple tail date.
Yeah. Well, the customers at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge are going to be eating well after today, I got a feeling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, give that telephone number. People want to give you a call and chat and talk about duck hunting and fishing and all the kind of stuff you do.
504-559-5111, and we're going to be on the phone a long time if we talk about all the stuff I do.
I know. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Fine, we'll see you.
All right, there he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we got one last break to take, and it's time to wrap up. And before I go, I do want to remind you about the benefit for Captain Mike Helmer. The drawings for those fishing trips, and there's 8 of them, is going to be on May 6th. That's coming up next week. I think that's Tuesday. So if you haven't got your ticket, I'll tell you how to do it right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, thank you for your text, old dog. I'm going to send you some contact information for someone who will put that old fishing gear to good use. They clean it up, make it workable if it's in bad shape, and they donate it to children who are less fortunate and don't have an opportunity to purchase it, and they still get to fish. So I'll send you that contact info before too long. All right, did want to go over the benefit for Captain Mike Helmer. Been talking about this for a while. Those of you who don't know Captain Mike, he was the owner and captain of the Phil Robichaux Fishing Charters out of Lafitte. He suffered a massive heart attack and has had a couple of strokes, but he's surviving and he's making a comeback, and with the help of his family and friends, hopefully he can get there. He's got some incredible medical expenses to cover, but you can be part of helping by, and also help yourself by purchasing a $25 ticket, or you can get 5 for $100. And they do have a Venmo method of payment. You can send checks. I'll give you the contact information in a minute if you want to jot it down. But here's what's being raffled off. There's a four-person fishing charter for two nights, and you stay in Lafitte with Captain Phil Robichaux. There's a two-person fishing charter with Big Dog Charters out of Lafitte, another two-person fishing trip with Captain Bo Weber of Delacroix, a two-person trip with Captain Lane Zimmer, also fishing out of Delacroix. Sean Thornton out of Delacroix has a two-person fishing trip, also one with Captain Bart Simo, another Delacroix captain, and out of Dead Reds Unlimited in Venice, you got a two-person fishing trip there. And maybe one of the most sought-after will be the MILF Pro Jimmy Washam. He fishes off Pickwick Lake in Tennessee. He donated a two-night stay and a two-person charter to fish with him. The drawing is going to be held on May the 6th, which is Tuesday. So you got between now and then, if you've been putting it off, don't do it any longer. You can go to Hooked on Healing on Facebook and find out all the information, and you can make the purchase by Venmo. That's Hooked on Healing Facebook, or call Angela Caruso, and you can reach Angela at 504-458-7844. That's 504-458-7844. And if you want to go online, there's another way to do it. It's cars99@cox.net. That's cars99@cox.net. And maybe you earn yourself a great fishing trip and help Captain Mike and his family out. All right, let's see. What else we got? Well, let's kind of recap what we talked about. If you're getting up a little bit late, Robbie Campo, he started off the reports, long rocks, east shore on Lake Bourne, a lot of slot reds showing up, plenty of sheephead, using the sliding cork. There's a lot of fish of different species. It's been good down there in Shell Beach. Also, we talked to Darrell Carpenter, and fishing there has been a little bit tough because they got some river water coming around, but the red snapper fishermen going out of Grand Isle have been doing outstanding with some unusually large fish and getting quick limits in about 45 minutes. Mike Gallo, been fishing shell pads and the bridges and the gas wells, catching a lot of speckled trout over in his area over there. Also, hopefully he can get to the brackish marshes over there in the Biloxi Marsh and get us a report on that. Again, river water problematic over there in the Grand Isle area for those fishing in Paddlepalooza. Although, you know, when fishermen go out and the caliber of fishermen that fish those tournaments with Bayou Coast Club do very well, and they had some pretty good stringers brought in despite the conditions. Ryan Lambert's reporting catches of all different species. He's gone after speckled trout, red snapper, mangrove snapper, and also triple tail. That's the thing about fishing in some of the areas in Louisiana, like where Ryan fishes. You know, there's so many different species, particularly in that Venice area. I think we caught, it was 7 or 8 species without moving the boat one time, because you got the mix of both the freshwater species from the river and then the saltwater species, and it's a close run to get to the offshore water. So you can not only catch freshwater fish, inshore saltwater, but also the offshore saltwater fish all in one place. And I got to tell you, there's not many places, not just in the country, but in the world, that you can catch the variety of fish that you can fishing in the lower Louisiana coast. And, of course, we've got some hunting going on, too. If you're interested in getting into squirrel hunting, got a special spring season. It's a 3-squirrel limit. Opens up this morning, and there's lots of public areas. Very simple, but very enjoyable activity for the squirrel hunting. Turkey hunting, well, you just got today and tomorrow left in Louisiana. A little bit of time left in Alabama, and that's all going to be wrapped up. Speaking of turkey hunting, I will be broadcasting next week from Palco, Kansas, and a lot of you's favorite co-host, my daughter number one, Cherie, will be co-hosting the show there. We're going to be doing some Rio Grande turkey hunting in Kansas and updating you on that situation there. I enjoy hunting in Kansas. I've hunted there for years, and those Rios kind of restore the faith in your calling and hunting abilities compared to the Eastern wild turkey. Can't complain, though. Did bag one bird this season. Had a lot of close encounters with some good birds. And maybe when I get some time, I'll tell you the story of Tennessee. I just heard from my buddy Tennessee Steve. He's out in the blind that I was hunting in Tennessee this morning. So thank you for tuning in. Hope you join us again next week. Thanks to Cullen Steele pushing all the right buttons at all the right time. We'll be back again next week, 5 to 7 a.m. We do this every Saturday morning. We talk like it's at a camp with the friends. It's called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.